own life, when I finally get to the bottom, when I finally say I've had enough, God does stuff for me. But when I think that I can do it and I can get this done some way and I can figure it out, I can make, well, God lets me go my way until finally I get to the place where I can't handle it anymore. And then it's not that God was always, but it was like the curtains pulled back and all of a sudden I get to experience the reality of himself right there and then.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the Ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. All right, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. Once again, my name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host. I am the National Relationships Generator for CLC. Now, normally, I would be joined with author and speaker, my co-host, Chris Bollinger. Unfortunately, there were some scheduling issues with this interview, and I had to go it alone. However, even though I felt naked, lacking my co-pilot, I think this interview was fantastic, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. We interviewed today the Reverend Dr. Ed Glover, and he and his wife Tammy are co-founders of the Urban Impact Foundation. Urban Impact's mission is to fulfill Christ's Great Commission on the north side of Pittsburgh specifically by following his model of holistic ministry by investing in the lives of at-risk children, youth, and their families in order to develop responsible followers of Christ. Now, I can tell you, having lived in Pittsburgh for a large part of my life, Urban Impact has had just a tremendous, well, impact on kids and families in inner city Pittsburgh. And Ed is just, he's a legend in and of himself for the work that he's done there as a pastor and a preacher, as well as an evangelist. And just the overall impact of his leadership in this area and even beyond, as you'll hear about. Urban Impact has been, gosh, they've been honored by all sorts of different awards, both here locally and nationally. And over the last 10 years, Urban Impact has partnered with the Steelers to host the Man Up Conference. And this conference is all about raising up men who will become fathers to the fatherless. Of course, you'll get to hear Ed's story, as well as more about the ministry of Urban Impact and the difference it's making here locally and even nationally. And in addition, we talk about, of course, the Man Up Conference, which is happening this June 11th. And there is an incredible lineup of speakers, including Tony Dungy, Brian Loritz, just to name a couple. And of course, Mike Tomlin, who is there every year, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm really encouraged for you guys to hear both Ed's story, the impact that's being made. Man, there are some amazing things that Ed and I get to talk about in this interview that I think will absolutely inspire you in your own pursuit of being a man of God. So here is our interview with Ed Glover. Ed Glover, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
It's great to be here, Mike. God bless you.
Yeah, man. Thanks. God bless you. I am so excited to hear about what's going on with the Man Up Conference, which is 10 years now the Man Up Conference has happened here in Pittsburgh. And it is, I honestly can't think, maybe there's one or two others. I can't think of another conference that has the influence on men on such a scale that yours has. And so, man, it's been incredible. It's been fun to watch it as it's progressed and grown. A lot of exciting things to talk about this year, a lot of exciting guests. But first, we want to hear a little bit more about you and your story, because you have, you've been doing Urban Impact now for 25 years. You helped to found it, of course, and have been at the helm there for those 25 years. And that a ton, God has done a ton in our community here in Pittsburgh through that. But where did it start for you? Let's back up, and we want to hear your fence post story. And for those listeners who are listening for the first time, just a quick reminder, imagine a fence along a property. You've got the horizontal pieces, but they're held up by those vertical pieces. And in a fence post story, those vertical pieces represent significant moments in our lives that make us who we are today. Could be people, events, circumstances, whatever. So for you, Ed, what? Tell us a little bit about your fence. Now, normally these stories go on for an hour. You don't have to go that long. So 10 or 12 minutes is all, you know, it's fine. But yeah, tell us a few of your fence posts.
Yeah, Mike, I grew up in my family never went to church. So I had no clue about Jesus. Mm. And I went to college. I was not smart, but I was a good baseball player. So I ended up going to a school in Tennessee. And while I was there, my senior year, there was a young lady who came and began to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And she was bold. I mean, really bold and straightforward. And I needed somebody like that, to be honest. And she came right up to me and she said, "Ed, I know that baseball is your God, but someday that God is going to fail you." Just like
me. Wow. She called you out right away.
Yeah, exactly. She just said, "Listen, and when that God fails you, either you're not good enough or you get cut or you get old and you can't play that game any longer, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin, was raised again from the dead and lives and wants to have a relationship with you and has all power and authority to forgive you and to give you eternal life." Well, she had no clue that I didn't know who she was talking about. Like when she started telling me about Jesus, I thought she was swearing at me. Because in my household, only other time I ever heard Jesus was when somebody was mad. So she quit all the, she goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Why are you swearing at me?" She said, "What are you talking about? This is a person. His name's Jesus." And I said, "What?" So she starts telling me all about Christmas and Easter and the whole deal. I mean, went back to the whole deal, told me all about it. I mean, we spent days and hours talking about months, matter of fact. And then finally, she just looked at me and she started going into the end times. And she said, "You know, there's these people that are gathering together right now, and they're trying to take 'In God We Trust' off the dollar bill." In the conversations she's having with me. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end, I didn't receive Christ. I graduated from college, and I was to be drafted in June. Hmm. So before you get drafted, they take all the people they're looking at, and they take you in, and you have to run a 60-yard dash, you throw, and all these things. And then they make the decisions of who they're going to draft. Hmm. Well, I was being looked at by the Pittsburgh Pirates, believe it or not. Nice. And 1979, when they were good.
Wow. Good. Like really good. Like World Series good.
World Series stuff. And and I was at Three Rivers, and it was June 8th. I was going down June 9th to tryout for my final tryout. And they've been following me all my whole high school and college career. So now here I am. I'm getting ready to go, and I'm putting gas in the car, and I got the radio on. And I tell you the truth, on the radio, it says, "There are these people who are trying to take 'In God We Trust' off the dollar bill." I mean, this is not Christian radio, man. This is just radio.
Interesting.
I heard that. My jaw hits the ground. I mean, I sit down in the car and I'm going, "My word, what this girl has been telling me is true, possibly. That Jesus Christ is a person. He loves me. He wants to." I'm
so going, that validated her testimony to you.
For months, exactly. I mean, that just blew me away. Wow. So I'm down there now, Three Rivers Stadium. They run you 60-yard dash, 2x2. Finally, they call my name and another kid from Wheeling, West Virginia. We line back up. We run again. I beat him. My scout comes running up to me. I'm standing at second base at Three Rivers. He comes running up to me and says, "Ed, you're the fastest guy in the camp. All you got to do is throw, and I think we're going to sign in the first round. I'm not kidding you." Turns around and walks away from me. Has no idea that my junior year, a little blooper fell over shortstop. I came running in. We had a train wreck out in left field. That guy totally reconstructed his shoulder, and he was never the same. But I actually got up, walked off the field, and then I couldn't lift my arms up over my head. So I spent the whole junior year in physical therapy. They did all, so my senior year, they're shooting cortisone in my elbow, my shoulder. So anyway, keep this short. I couldn't throw, but I wasn't willing to give up this dream. And I had such a great senior year. And so finally, I'm there at second base. He walks away from me. And then it's like this girl, her name was Anna. It was like Anna, not kidding, Mike, was standing right next to me saying, "And when this God fails you, is Jesus Christ." Now, listen, nobody had to talk to me about sin because this girl did a great job explaining to me who I was. And I was the guy who was sinning probably as much as anybody watching this thing. So I'm standing there and I literally knelt down at second base, Three Rivers. And I said to God, I said, "God, if what this girl is telling me about Jesus is true, I ask you to be my savior. I ask Jesus to be my savior and I ask him to be my Lord." Now, what she told me, this is the truth. What she told me is that if you make that decision, you've got to be as committed to Jesus Christ as you are to baseball, or don't even talk to him about it. So she said, "You are the all in or get out." I can still see her. Wow. "You're either all in or you get out. So don't play games with him." So I knew, Mike, what I was doing at second base. I knew it. Well, I got up. I threw horribly. I mean, horribly. Anyway, we had an inter-squad game. I actually hit one off the wall that day. We ran from home to first. I actually was the fastest from home to first. Anyway, everybody gathers together and they're in the dugout. They'll say, "Okay, we'll call you." Week goes by. I don't get a call. I look in the paper. The kid from Wheeling gets signed. I'm not signed. But this would happen. I get in my car and I take a ride because I still had the Expos in Atlanta taking a look at me. I'm riding down the highway and a semi comes out of nowhere and almost hits me head on. I drive into a grape vineyard to get out of my hands up on the steering wheel. My heart's up in my throat. I mean, I'm scared to death. But I tell you the truth, Mike, as I'm sitting here, I just knew if I died, I was going to go to heaven. I pulled my car out. I drove home. I pick up the phone. I call Anna on the phone. I said, "Anna." And I told her, she goes, "Did you ask Jesus?" I said, "Yeah, I asked Jesus to be my savior." She says, "Well, now you're a son of God. You're a child of God." I said, "What am I supposed to do now?" She said, "Well, you got to go to church." I said, "Church? What do you mean I got to go to church? You got to go to church." And Mike, again, she looks right and she goes, "All right, this is what you do. You find out a church and you go in that church. There's going to be a guy standing up. He's called a preacher. He's going to be preaching. And when he preaches, when he gets done, you go up and talk to him. You ask him two questions. And you'll know whether you're supposed to stay in this church. You ask him, does he preach Jesus? And does he preach from the Bible? If he says yes to those two questions, you stay there. Guy gets done. I go up and say those. He says, yep, I stay there. So I'm sitting in the pew. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life now. I've never opened up the Bible in my life. I open up the Bible. I look into the Bible and I go, good grief, God's going to help me to get a job. Of course, I'm reading Job. So I read Job.
Yeah.
And I have no idea that my life, I mean, unravels like you can't believe. But 2 years later, God calls me into ministry. I go to seminary. I get out of seminary and I come back to Pittsburgh. And when I'm doing Pittsburgh, I start Urban Impact. And when I start Urban Impact, this is an amazing story. I started Urban Impact. And guess what? When I started Urban Impact, I'm standing at Three Rivers Stadium. We're having this huge celebration. I got Jeff King and Jay Bell. We're standing there. They're taking pictures. I got about 800 kids behind me. We're having Urban Impact Sunday at Three Rivers Stadium. And by the way, this is happening. And the deal is that there's a bunch of people trying to get me to leave Pittsburgh to be their pastor. And I'm really struggling. I really am. I'm asking the Lord, am I really supposed to do this? As I'm standing there, this verse comes to my mind. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And guess where I'm standing? Second base, Three Rivers Stadium. 15 years later, I'm standing there. It was like the Lord just spoke to me. You are doing what I called you to do. Wow. You keep doing what you do. Stay in this city and get it done. Guess who the pastor was in the church that I was at back when I got saved? Rock Dillaman.
I was going to guess that. I was going because I know you've been at ACAC before. So, wow.
Rock Dillaman was the pastor in this little church in Northeast Pennsylvania back then. Mm-hmm. I get saved, talk to him. He goes to Pittsburgh. And then when I get out of seminary, I joined him in Pittsburgh. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Wow. God is a sovereign God. And God loves you, man. And he chases you down no matter who you are. I will say that.
Wow. Amen, brother. Amen. That is an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that, Ed, because that, holy cow, so compelling. God literally chased you down.
He did.
And just nailed you.
Listen to this. I lost track of Anna, and I found Anna about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are on the, just like this, talking to her. She's bawling. She has no idea. She goes, I didn't know what happened to you. She goes, I've done one thing right in my life. She said, I said, no, girl, you've done a lot right. But that was good.
That's two ways there too. So as guys are listening to this too, remember, you don't know the seed you're planting, right?
That's right.
Like, you didn't necessarily hit your knees at that moment as Anna's talking to you right then.
No, a year later.
Yeah, but that stuck in you and it was planted into your heart, which grew into something beautiful. Wow. Praise God, Ed. That is an incredible story. Okay. So 25 years of Urban Impact. I mean, that's a long time. You 25 years to be a pastor at one church is a long time. 25 years to be with one ministry of any sort is a long time. And I know that it hasn't all been smooth sailing. I know that there have been challenges along the way, struggles. But share a little bit about what Urban Impact is up to. If something comes to mind, I'd love to hear maybe a struggle and also a celebration of some things that maybe have happened along the way. But share what you're doing in the inner city there in Pittsburgh with Urban Impact.
Yeah, well, we know when I went to seminary and I came out, Rock asked me to come and be the outreach pastor at Allegheny Center Lights Church. And that was 36 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I come there and the church is around about 500 people, but what my wife and I did when we first got there is we did a demographic study of the church and the community. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered is that only 6 people from the community went to the church. So what that told us that the church that once was on the north side, those people got, because it was almost 100-year-old church at that time. So many of them had moved out of the north side into the suburbs, but they continued to drive down to the north side to go to church on Sunday and Wednesdays. And what happened was that they became a destination church. They had a desire to reach the community, but they really weren't. Hmm. So when Rock got there, he really wanted to reach the community. So he brought myself in to do that. Mm-hmm. And what we ended up doing is that we knew, Tammy and I, that, you know, Jesus didn't come down one day a week and then shoot back up to heaven for the next 6. Mm-hmm. He came down and became one of us. Mm-hmm. So we knew that we had to move into the community. So that's what we did. We had to move in, build relationships, earn the right to be heard. You know, you don't do that from a distance. Mm-hmm. So we moved in. We renovated an apartment. Too long of a story on that one, Mike. It's crazy what we did there. Yeah. And then we went around the corner. We renovated a home and we started doing ministry. And it was great. And it was exciting. The church was growing a little bit. Rock was preaching. We had some good worship, some great things going on. And then one day I ended up moving onto a street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up or unoccupied because that was the community in which we lived. Wow. And 6 years into the ministry, I walked out of my house and my car was stolen for the third time. And I remember looking down the street and saying to the Lord, Lord, am I wasting my time? Can we make any kind of a difference? And that's when the Lord said this to me. And this is the truth. He said, how do you eat an elephant? And I responded, one bite at a time. Now, what do I mean by God speaking? It was in my head. It was just a thought that came to my mind. It wasn't like I heard an audible voice.
Thanks for clarifying so we all don't think you're nuts.
Exactly. Hey, you get
it. Right.
He's talking to me. And I said, well, one bite at a time. And he took my mind and my heart, really, and helped me see that if I could impact one person, then one family, then one block, we could transform the north side of Pittsburgh. And that's when Urban Impact was born. So I go back to the church. I explain to them this whole vision. Rock was extremely supportive. The church was really supportive of us. But what we had to do eventually is that we had to leave the church. I couldn't just be the pastor, outreach. I was a youth pastor and all. I had to leave in order to raise my support. So Tammy and I did that. They supported us, and we started building Urban Impact. So there were some real struggles in there. I mean, we had to really struggle financially. We had to struggle, you know, building something from nothing.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of opposition from different, all kinds of different places and people.
Wow.
And, but God did it. And now I look back, you know, after I started Urban Impact in 1995, I got there in 86, 95, we started this. And I look back, you know, 25, 26 years later, and no more street, no more homes boarded up in my neighborhood. You know, the church is well over a couple thousand people. Most of those people are coming from the community. But now Urban Impact is ministering to thousands of people on the north side as well as around the city. And then we've raised up a number of people over the years to learn about what we have done. And that we've sent them to different ministries, different locations around the country, even around the country. And we won some national awards. And I say all this to bring glory to God. Because a lot of people believe that you can't really impact the city, but you can. You got to take it. You got to take neighborhoods at a time, and you can change communities. And that's what I'm really trying to say to pastors and to men like who are listening. Yeah. If we can lock arms together for such a time as this right now,
yeah.
I mean, we have all the momentum we need on the north side. I mean, I'm in schools. I'm outside of schools. I'm in businesses. We're connecting the whole community, and we're having a voice to that community. And by the way, hundreds of people are coming to Christ every year through Urban Impact. Wow. Hundreds of them. I mean, last year, there was over 450 people that came to Christ just this past year. So the momentum's there. So it's really exciting. And I want to start doing some Christian community development, economic development, some things that we can do together. And I'm really excited about that. That might be another talk another day.
I was going to say that might be something we want to talk about another time for sure.
That's another day,
man. Okay. I love what you said there. And I want to just camp out for just a moment because, I want guys to really, I think they heard it, but just want to reaffirm one life or one person at a time, right?
One family, one community, or one block,
right?
Yeah.
One neighborhood. I love that because often as men, we can be very ambitious. Naturally, we have big plans, right? And we want to take over the world. And we need to remember that it's one step at a time, and it's God's leading. I mean, that's Jesus started that way, right? When he was with his disciples, one life at a time. So, yeah, just something to kind of reaffirm, and I think that's beautiful. And clearly we're seeing the effects of that in your ministry here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. So, okay. So then, now you are, you, well, 10 years ago, right? You started Man Up, the conference, and where you began to invite, I believe it came from a relationship between you and Mike Tomlin to start with. Isn't that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that started and maybe what role that plays in your overall strategy to impact the community?
Yeah, sure. Let me just back up 1 minute, Mike, and say this, that a lot of people say to me, you know, what real change has taken place? Well, there's thousands of kids today that are, you know, we have an options program that's helping kids transition out of high school into life. Mm-hmm. And I want everyone to know that those who participate in options, 100% of them graduate, and 97% of them either go to a college, a trade school, get a job, go into military or the ministry. So those are thousands of people's lives over the years that have been impacted to make those transitions. So Jesus Christ can transform people's lives, even the highest risk people that you can imagine. He has the power to do that. But he uses people like us, just like you and me, to make that happen. Okay. Urban Impact.
And I'm sorry, real quick too. Yeah. You also took a huge step of faith in trusting God to literally move into the neighborhood. We would call that in Young Life incarnational ministry when I was on staff with Young Life, right?
There you are.
Exactly what you did, and it's grown out of that. And sometimes God, in order to use us, needs to push us outside of our comfort zone.
What's amazing now today, I have 37 what we call urban missionaries who live on the north side just like me.
Wow.
Raise their support. And people, because people say to me, how do you get those kind of results where you're impacting thousands of people? Because people like myself, very committed, are all in, living in that community. And I'm just encouraging the body of Christ to get behind this. And now we have a training center. We train people in this stuff. So it's amazing. That might be another day, Mike. But here we go.
Yeah.
Man up. Yeah. Man up. What happened is I went to a conference at your old church. At Richard Hill. And yep. You guys were having a conference there. And Tony Dungy comes on. He wasn't there live. It was on video.
Oh, yeah.
And he's given his testimony. He talks about how he has a calling to impact young people, and especially people in the urban setting. As I hear this, again, I hear this small voice in my mind, work with this guy. And I respond, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I know of him, but I don't know him. I mean, how's that going?
Yeah.
3 months later, Tony and his wife write a book for children. And I get a call from his people and they say, Pastor Ed, we heard that you are really connected to Pittsburgh. Can you get us into urban schools? He wants to come and read his book to elementary kids in Pittsburgh. And I said, sure. So I hooked him up with a number of schools. One of them was right in my neighborhood, Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. He comes, he and his wife, they read the book, and we're sitting in the library afterwards. And I looked at him. I said, Tony, I told him what happened. I said, how would you like to work with me? And let's impact men and impact kids in Pittsburgh. He said, Ed, I'd like to work with you. He said, I'm really busy. I said, but call my people and we'll get this connected. So anyway, it goes by. I make a phone call to his people, play this phone tag. Well, I got so much going on. I just kind of said, I'm not gonna mess with this.
Yeah.
And then the Lord just kind of spoke to me again in the way he does with me. And he said, Ed, listen, I didn't ask you. I told you to do it. And he said, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, not really, but it's what he's saying to me, I'm taking you out to the woodshed. Do you want that? I said, no, man, I don't. So then I knew, because I had a relationship with Mike Tomlin, that Mike had a great relationship with Tony. So I go down to see Mike to connect to Tony. And I'm in the office there. We're talking. I'm telling him I want to impact men and I want to impact fatherless kids. He looks at me and he says, well, I want to do that. I said, Mike, listen, you're busy. All right. You're an NFL coach.
Yeah.
Tony's done. He's retired. He goes, no, you don't understand. I really want to help. I said, Mike, you're too big. He said, Ed, listen, you don't know it, but 2 weeks ago I buried a father I never knew.
Wow.
And I looked at him goodness. And I said, wow. He said, yeah. If it wasn't for my grandfather and for my stepfather stepping into my life, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair with you today. So if you're asking me to impact men and impact fatherless kids, I am all in. And he has been all in. Wow. It's amazing. And he also helped me start Man Up down in Charlotte. He went down to Charlotte.
No way.
And helped me launch a Man Up in Charlotte with the Panthers. I mean, he's all in on this. And so for me to have Tony Dungy finally come and Mike Tomlin, which I call TNT, you know, Tony and Tomlin.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this for 10 years. I'm so excited, man. You don't want to miss this. You want to show up at this one. This is going to be great. It's we're not here to beat you up. We're here to build you up, guys. It will be a time to encourage you. We all need coaching.
Yeah.
I know I do. I need coached. Yeah. And these guys are going to, I got some of the best speakers in the city of Pittsburgh. Matter of fact, in the country coming to this.
Yeah.
And they're going to really help us along. And they're going to help us to love our wives, love God, and love our kids, and reach the fatherless. We can do that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Because, you know, you've got your normal lineup of speakers who might be up front, but you also have all these breakouts that happen during the conference as well, right?
Yeah.
And I know the times that I've been there, the breakouts are where, not to put down the main session, but the breakouts kind of where the magic happens, because you get to interact with other guys and take in and interact with the speaker who's there, who's teaching in different ways, and connect with other guys as well. Are there any breakouts planned this year that you're especially excited about?
Yeah, there's some, there's 25 speakers all together, and I'll go through. We have Mike Tomlin, Tony Dungy, Brian Laritz. Let me tell you, Brian Laritz is one of the best communicants. Ryan Shazier is going to be there to tell his story. Amazing. Mm-hmm. There's a young man, Alex Highsmith. He's a, you know, Steeler. We got some other surprises. Not going to tell you about those, but then we have breakout guys, and there's some, I mean, there's some of these guys that are going to be speaking. One is John Nuzzo. John Nuzzo is, we're going to be at his church at Victory Church. He's going to be there. His breakout's going to be excellent. I don't want to plug too many, because all my pastor friends are going to say, why'd you plug his, not mine? Just yeah, go online, sure. Check it out. Every one of those speakers, and there's speakers for young men. Yeah. We've got two dynamic young speakers that are going to be there for young guys, you know, guys in youth groups and college students, man, great stuff going on. Guys that are retired, there's stuff for you. Guys that are, you know, grandpas like me, I'm a grandfather, I got 7 grandchildren now, helping you help to be able to, how do you really raise a daughter?
Mm.
I think us guys struggle with that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I raise kids today with all the sexual stuff going on. There's going to be guys there to talk to you about that. How do you navigate through? I mean, I could go on and on. It's some great stuff.
Wow. That's going to be incredible. Real quick. So Ryan Shazier, he's, you know, if you're in Pittsburgh, you know, you follow him, or, well, he's known because of the injury he had, and then his recovery that played into that, and pretty miraculous that he was able to start walking again. And then he had a book, I guess, recently released as well.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. It's funny. You get a sense from some guys that they have a faith of some sort, that it's there, but you don't know for sure. And so, like, when I saw Ryan Shazier, I was like, my heart leapt. I'm like, yes, I knew it. God is working in his life. This is great.
He is a great father, a man of faith. His father's a man of faith.
Really?
Yeah. Pastor. Yeah. And his mother. And Michael, the tenacity of this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It is incredible. And then, of course, Kent Chevalier, good buddy of mine. We had him on the podcast here. I don't know. Gosh, it might've been 5 months ago, 5 months ago. I don't know. It's been a while now. And man, you talk about a guy who is dynamic and on fire, man. He just, when he speaks, man, men listen. He is such a perfect fit as the Steelers chaplain, isn't he? Like,
yeah, he is.
Oh my goodness.
He's really good at it. Those guys, they really, really respect him.
Yep. It's good. Yep.
And then we have, you know, we have all kinds of different opportunities for men that will be there. There's a luncheon that you can be part of. If they want to, they can go online and find out about that you can meet all these people. They're going to have a special lunch, a VIP lunch, that you can meet these guys and get some pictures and autographs and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the reason. I mean, it's great. It is fun. I will say the people who have been part of that in the past, they've had a blast back there meeting all those people. And Mike and all the guys, Brian, all of them, Ryan will be there. They are really personable, and it's really fun to watch those men interact with all the guys that show up. I really do appreciate that.
So it would be a big mistake if I didn't ask you this question. I really wanted to get your perspective on the state of manhood today. I mean, you are immersed. I mean, you were just, like we just discussed, you're in the culture there in at the North Side. You're working extensively with kids, and have a heart especially for the fatherless. And so give me a little bit about what you're seeing, boots on the ground, in a sense, with men today, and what are some of those key challenges that guys are facing? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the biggest thing that we have to deal with today is identity. That's really being challenged. And we're going to have to help not only men, women, you know, our society figure out that we are born in the image of God. We're not made up. We don't just get to make ourselves up. I mean, we're born and we have value and we have worth.
Yeah.
And in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And we got to help. I think we really need to help this generation that's coming up.
Yeah.
Us men have to stand. We have to stand up and we have to man up. And I'm going to use that term seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be men. I mean, just love. Love covers a multitude of sin. And if we can just get close enough to the people that we, our kids, our grandkids, kids in our community, kids in the city. I mean, a lot of these kids, the kids I work with, you know, 20 million kids in America growing up without a dad. The devastation of that is unbelievable. And you'll hear me talk about that a lot at Man Up. But let me just tell these guys, I mean, if we don't turn the tide of fatherlessness, I don't have a lot of hope if we don't turn this sometime. And what I mean by, listen to these stats, Mike.
Yeah.
90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state operating institutions come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers. 80% of rapists with displaced anger grew up in a fatherless home. 85% of youth in prison. 71% of teen pregnancies are girls coming out of fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides. And I can go on and on and on. So if we don't step in and start not just taking care of our own, and that's good. We have to do that. But we're going to have to start looking out beyond ourselves and try to figure out ways that us men can get a hold of these younger kids and these younger men and get them involved with us to mentor them. And I think the Bible tells us to do that, by the way.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, you took an extraordinary step. You took your family and you moved into the neighborhood, literally as the message describes what Jesus did with us. You tabernacled from a theological perspective in that neighborhood. And you just mentioned that your car was stolen 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean, there had to have been people that said, "What are you doing? You are crazy. You are irresponsible. Like, how can you put your family in harm's way like that?" You know, what would you say to guys who are maybe just having trouble taking that first step to step out of their into their initial uncomfort zone, right? So not even a step that big, but just maybe it's stepping out and tapping a younger guy on the shoulder in their church and deciding to pour into him. What would you say to someone like that? Because I think coming from you, it means a lot.
You know, courage, it doesn't mean that you're not afraid. There's fear. But I remember, and I mean, it's just kind of a silly thing, but it's true. You know, I've always heard the statement, you know, John Wayne said, you know, courage is not absence of fear, but just saddle up anyway, you know?
Yeah.
That's true. And I would say to men, you know, you really haven't lived. I mean, I've lived. I can tell you that. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God deliver. I've seen God do unbelievable things to rescue people, to deliver people, to save me, save my family. I've seen healings. I've seen deliverances. I mean, I can't tell you all the things that I've seen and I've had the privilege to see. And the reason I've been able to see them is because I'm with those people who need them. Really, really. I'm not saying that people don't need them. Like, you and I need healing.
Yeah.
You and I need God's presence. We need it. But you and I, like, let's all say, in my own life, when I finally get to the bottom, when I finally say I've had enough, God does stuff for me. But when I think that I can do it and I can get this done some way and I can figure it out, I can make, well, God lets me go my way until finally I get to the place where I can't handle it anymore. And then it's not that God was always with me, but it was like the curtains pull back and all of a sudden I get to experience the reality of himself right there and then. And I'm just saying to these men, when you go to people like the fatherless, he tells us that very clearly in the scriptures. Go to the widows and the orphans. Makes it really clear. That's true. That's the true religion right there.
Yep.
And if you don't go there, you're never really. You can experience the presence of God and the miracles of God in a lot of different ways. But I will guarantee you that you start engaging with that, and you will see the hand of God. You will see things that you've never seen before. I can say that.
Amen. That is amazing. Yeah. When, as guys, and you talk about the fatherlessness, and that's part of the problem with, I think, with the fatherlessness is we have too many men who aren't willing to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable, stepping out in a place that where there's probably fear, and but then watching God come through. Because he is faithful, right? He's faithful and he will come through. But we have to be put in circumstances where, like you said, our weaknesses are exasperated so that God's power can be emphasized, right? It can be, you know, very clear. I think Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, he was talking about the difference between walking in the light and walking in the dark. And of course, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness because he was scared. But Jesus said that, you know, when you
he was rightly scared, by the way.
That's true.
They're gonna kill this guy.
Jesus said, look, but when you walk in the light, it becomes clear. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, it becomes clear that it's God who's working and that he accomplishes what he accomplishes.
Yeah.
I think it's so powerful. Anyway, thank you for that, Ed. That's beautiful, man. So as folks are, you know, some people might not be in the Pittsburgh area who are listening to this, is there any way for them to partake in the Man Up conference?
Yeah. Last couple of years we've done that and man, it's been unreal. Like 100,000 men have tuned in. Wow. We're not going to do that this year. There was some issues with that. I can't remember at all, but if you don't come, you're just not going to be able to catch it. Now, there might be some things down the road. I don't know. Maybe Tony will do. I mean, he's got his people.
Yep.
I don't know. You know, I got to deal with the Steelers. I got to deal with all these folks. Yep. And they might do some things. But no, this year you got to show up, you know, this to be part of it. It's going to be June 11th.
Yep.
It's going to be at Victory Church. Mm-hmm. Victory Church starts at 7:30. That's registration. Ends at 3. And we already talked about all the speakers and all that kind of stuff. So,
and they can go to manuppittsburgh.org, right, to find out more about the conference.
Yeah. Just so that everyone knows that there's breakfast and there's lunch.
Oh, that's great.
It's all served. It's all part of the same price.
Okay.
And let me say this to these guys. If you want to, you can, like, for example, maybe you can't come, but there's a lot of fatherless kids that we work with and men that would like to come to this conference. And there's a way to give a scholarship. So a kid or a young man, or even an older guy can come if you want. That's just a way to help if you want to do that.
That, by the way, is one of the coolest things I saw while I was there. I saw men and maybe a younger mentor, maybe not even their son. Some men did bring their sons, but some men just brought the kid that they're, or a couple of kids, whoever that they're mentoring. I think that's so beautiful. What a great opportunity.
Yeah. This year we're trying to get some coaches in the city bring some of the football players into this conference this time. Mm-hmm. These are young high school kids. Mm-hmm. We're finding that's become a huge thing. And then Urban Impact, we probably take 75 to 100 kids from our ministry that are fatherless into that conference. And that's what we're looking for. People who are willing to sponsor them if they can.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely. So, and if someone did want to do that, is there some way through manuppittsburgh.org that they can do that?
Okay. You go on there and it'll say you can scholarship.
Okay.
You just hit that and it'll let you know how to do that.
Excellent.
When you register or if you want to register.
Yeah. And then if folks want to find out more about Urban Impact, follow what you're doing there. No matter where they are in the world, they can always do that. Where do they go? What are the best ways to keep in touch with you or to follow you?
Yeah. In the website, www.uifpgh.org. That's the website for Urban Impact. It's a really good website. When you go in there, you'll see all kinds of different things that we're doing, different ways you can get involved. There's a page for me if you want to connect with me. I encourage you to do that, by the way.
Yeah, great. I appreciate you saying that because people vary in their availability, you know what I mean, to be contacted. So I appreciate you being willing to do that. So folks, if you want to reach out and find out more, connect with Ed, definitely do that. That's Mike, great.
Can I say one thing to the business guys? I mean, I really am trying to figure out how to do, I told you that we're transitioning kids out of high school into life.
Yeah.
And we're helping them to go to college, trade school, get a job, go in the military, the ministry. And we're trying to look at some things economically, what we could do on the north side or in the city where we can create an engine for kids to be able to be part of that. Mm-hmm. Looking at how to do that, to really transform a community economically as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of poverty there. Mm-hmm. And how do you turn that around? And we at Urban Impact are trying to take a look at that. So all of you guys out there, you got skill, I always tell people, don't retire, rewire.
Yeah.
And come help us. Come talk to me about ideas, thoughts. I'm looking for those kinds of volunteers, those kinds of men to come around and take a look at what we do and see if we can make it better.
Man, that's awesome. I love it, Ed. That's great. Yeah. Man, Ed, this has been a great conversation, man. I so appreciate what you're doing, man. You've done so much. God has done so much through you, through so many others at Urban Impact, to impact so many kids, so many people in the city here. And now I love hearing the fact that you've got different things happening outside of Pittsburgh around the country. That's amazing. I love it. God is expanding the reach there and it's going to be exciting to see what happens. So, yeah. So before we take off, Ed, I'd love to pray for you and ministry. Before we close up here. So yeah, let's pray.
I want to thank you. I mean, you've done great work in our town and I thank you for all that you've been doing. I'm sure these guys do too, but, can I pray for you before you pray for me?
Ed, nobody's turned this around on me like that, Ed, but yes, I would be honored, man. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for Mike. Thank you for his family. Thank you that he is a man of God who loves you and loves his wife, loves his kids. And we pray for him that he'll be everything you desire him to be. And Lord, we commit him in your hands that, Lord, you have a future and a hope. And he is a man that you use and you'll continue to use. So we're asking for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, in his life, the life of his family and the ministry. And we thank you for him. We encourage him today. We ask that you would bless him, give it back to him 100-fold. For Lord, we ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. God, you are so good. Father, thank you for this time together with Ed. We give you praise, Father, for all that you're doing in and through Ed and through his team at Urban Impact. And Father, we entrust this conference to you now and pray, God, that you would just work in such a mighty way in men's lives. Lord, you are the father to the fatherless.
Yes,
and as Ed said, your heart is for the fatherless and the widow.
And God, I just pray that this would be a spark that would ignite a national, maybe worldwide movement, Father, of men who are willing to step up. And as we said, embrace discomfort and in the process, see you work, Lord, and see you strengthen us as we seek to strengthen the next generation, Lord, for your sake, for your kingdom's sake. Father, I pray that you would protect Ed, protect his family, Father, continue to provide for them as you have so richly, God. And we just entrust the event and all those who are involved in it, the speakers, Lord, again, may your Holy Spirit just move in powerful ways in that, Lord. And we entrust it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Ed.